Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the Bald-Faced Truth.
I like to think of myself as an original thinker, but you know what? I reached out to Arizona State last couple weeks and I said I'd love to have Herm Edwards on the show. Yeah, me and about 50 other radio stations nationally. He's joining us now. I have to know how he's doing. How hot is it where you are, Coach?
Oh, it's 114.
What do you do in that heat?
Well, we actually have our guys worked out early this morning, so they're dealing with it. It's hot. It's really hot.
You become an early riser, don't you?
Well, I'm early riser anyway. I'm here at 4:30 every morning, so that's kind of my routine. So,
yeah. How long has that been a thing? Like all your life, when did you pick that up?
I was always an early riser. I mean, probably this early when I started coaching, because I wanted to be done with what I needed to be done with, you know, and so I could deal with the assistant coaches and all the things that are going to happen to you. Once you walk into your office, right? So I'd always get into the building early, do a lot of thinking, kind of plot my strategy with what I needed to get done that day, whether it was with coaches or players. And this is my quiet time, because after that, when you're the head coach, things get kind of busy.
Herm Edwards, our guest, Arizona State football coach. Your quarterback, I think he's getting some praise, but I think he's a little underrated. He had a terrific finish last season. He won some big games, including the Oregon game. What do you see in Jaden Daniels?
A lot of potential. Last year was a year for him as a freshman. Didn't put a lot on his plate, to be quite honest. But if I told him that, I said, look, we're going to help you here. We're going to try to run the ball some for you and not put you in a lot of tough spots so you can just grow and learn how to play the position at this level. And then, obviously, after the season he had last year, we've kind of revamped our offense and really built it around his skill level. So, with that being said, you can't do it by itself. It starts with the guys up front. If he can be protected and you give him some perimeter players, which we were able to do through recruiting. So, we're kind of excited about the young talent we have. But we're young. I mean, we've got seven seniors on this team. Everybody else is either sophomores, a bunch of freshmen again coming in this class, and we've got some juniors, but we're fairly young.
What have you learned now about college football that maybe you didn't know when you walked through the doors a few years ago?
Well, I knew the recruiting was really big. In my mind, I thought, okay, you got to do a lot of recruiting, but I didn't know it was that big. I mean, it's 80% of your life. And every day you're recruiting. I mean, the day you don't recruit, you know, somebody's catching you. And there's always recruits out there, whether it's the 2021s, the 22s, even the 23s, if you're that far down your list. But with what has just happened, a lot of high school players not playing in certain areas of the country, now you really got to be on your P's and Q's because you're looking at junior film. And some of these guys might not have senior film. So you're trying to project guys, which is kind of interesting.
How are you going to project guys? And look, I know a lot of college players will say, look, I was a late bloomer. It wasn't until my junior or senior year. What do you do now as a coach when you don't have a spring season or you don't have a fall season in some places?
Well, that's the thing of recruiting. It's kind of like, when I first got back into the National Football League after playing, I was a scout. And so it really becomes the information you gather on the young man. You're hoping that most of these guys will get bigger. Some of them get taller. The strong part you can do, the running part you can do, but are they going to grow? And that's what you're hoping. And you gotta just kind of estimate that, right? And you're looking for things that allow you to do that. But then you look at how he plays, and you go, okay, you're counting on he's going to get better as a senior. Now, we've seen this too. You know, you recruit guys, and sometimes you offer them a scholarship, and they're early on accepting that, and then they don't play good their senior year. You just kind of scratch their head sometimes. You know? it's recruiting's recruiting.
Herm Edwards is our guest. I know you've told the Fig Newton story before. Where'd you pick that up? You like frozen or cold Fig Newtons? And I did it after you told us last time. It's great.
Fantastic, right?
Yep.
When you can make it like really, really good, you get you some cheese. Now you're going to a different level when you add cheese on it. When you have a little piece of cheese with it, it's like, oh boy. I was at Cal Berkeley. I went there right out of high school, and when you ran out of money, when your scholarship ran out, that last 2 weeks, you're kind of looking, you go, okay, what's the deal here? And if I had some Fig Newtons in my refrigerator, I knew I was good, right? And that became my deal. You know, even today, there's some Fig Newtons in my refrigerator.
Coach, I have three daughters, and I started today's show talking about going to the DMV and my oldest daughter getting her license. And I always talk about being a dad, being a husband. It's more than, being a writer or being a radio show host. And I know you're big on that stuff, too, but you're in a world where it has to be football all the time, or it feels like that, and recruiting. Mm. How do you keep that balance in that world so competitive?
Well, I think the one thing I've learned, and my wife is really good, when I go home, I don't bring work home. It's my girls and my wife is my family. And, what's great about us, and we can do it, especially now even more, I can get home in time to have dinner and with the family at the table. And that's when we have, okay, what do we do in school today? What happened? It's the conversations that they had in school and the things that the events that took place, and I don't even talk about work. I mean, they know a lot of the players. I mean, all of a sudden they got 100 big brothers, right? So keep up with the players and all that. And the players will text them, the Jaden's part of our family and some other players as well. But we just talk about, life events. We talk about things, some worldly things at times. It's amazing how young people, because of the access they have with information, that you can have some conversations with a 14 and a 13-year-old, and you're going, how do you know this, right? It's kind of like, whoa, I didn't know that when I was that young, right? And I think if you don't do your homework on your kids and you let that stuff slide away, before you know it, they're getting influenced by people on devices, phone, computer, iPads, right? Everybody's in their life. And I think as a parent, that's what parenting is about. You have to be in their life, especially nowadays, with the information they gather from so many different platforms.
I always talk about unifiers and dividers, that there's people who tend to bring people together and do things to make a team cohesive, and then there's other people who want to always divide. In families, we see it. Can you sniff that out in recruiting?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, it's about people. Recruiting is about people. And I've always said this, when we recruit guys, I always tell them, look, I'm not here to change the personality. No. Your personality will fit as long as it's not bigger than the room. Can't be bigger than the room, right? And the thing is, there's this thing called respect. And you got to respect each other, and that's big. That's really big in our program. You have to respect each other. And you don't always have to agree, but you got to be a good listener, because until we choose to listen, we can never learn anything. And people might have different opinions. That's the whole thing with football is so great, because there's this sense of a huddle where you bring so many different athletes and coaches from different walks of life that they all have these different experiences, and you can learn a lot of things from that.
Herm Edwards, our guest, Arizona State football coach. I know it was disappointing for your players, maybe for coaches, to hear, hey, we're not playing. Mm-hmm. How do you mentally refocus a team knowing that spring thing is kind of a moving target? Like, this is a real challenge mentally, I think.
Well, it is, because we talked about it a little bit today, and you have to keep in tune with your players, and I've got a pretty good feel for that. But they're very competitive, and all of a sudden now they're going through a phase where there's no competition. So how do you create competition within the framework of them working out and things of that nature, right? We're going to have a draft here Friday. We're having a Madden draft, right? So everybody's going to be on teams, and we're going to have a tournament. And we're putting it on the big screen in the locker room and in the big meeting room, right? And we've got to divide it up in teams, and for 5 weeks they're going to go at it. And, you know, they need something to do to compete, you know, that because they've always done that. And it gets them going. And so you got to do some things now and think a little bit outside the box of what will get these guys to compete.
It's a great exercise. Last September, you got a chance to give a pep talk to a campus group of journalists at the Cronkite School of Journalism. Why was that important to you? I heard you brought the house down, but why was that important to you?
Well, I've been on that side of it, and you know, I've always said this as a teacher, whatever profession you're in, even coaching, I call you a teacher. You don't provide your students with talent; you give them information. And working on that side in the media, when they allowed me to be a part of the Cronkite School, I wanted to share some stories with them, how I kind of broke into the media and what the media, you know, what it can do and how it helps to promote things and how you go about doing your business. Because I've seen it long enough and been involved in it long as an athlete, as a coach, but also on the other side of it. And so I can give them a good perspective both ways. And so you speak of that, and on the 31st, I've got another one to do at the Cronkite School, so they got me on the docket again.
when you went from being a player, 10-year player in the NFL, played at a high level, very respected, you obviously have the coaching experience. But when you got into the media side, do you wish that you had had that maybe before you played so you could have known that side of it?
Well, I think you learn a lot. You learn a lot when you're playing. If you take it for what it's worth, you know, some guys get angry when you in the media doesn't always write nice things about you. You know, they have a job, and you don't worry about that. But I think as you learn how that works, you know, I was in two really pretty good media markets. I mean, you're a kid that comes out of California, right?
Yep.
On the West Coast, and you go to Philadelphia. Take that on for your career, right? But that was like, whoa. You know, when they're booing Santa Claus, you're saying, what is this? What are they doing this for, right? You're in Philly, right? And so you learn quick, and then obviously then you become a head coach, then you go to New York. It's like, okay, I've kind of seen this. But I enjoyed the banter, the conversations with media folks. I really did. I think I had a good relationship with most of them. You know, and I always used to tell them, I said, look, whatever you say, whatever you write, I just make sure, you know, that it's never personal. You know, you got to take the personal part out of it, and that's hard. I get it. I said, but you got to take the personal part out of it. And I told them, I will always give you enough information where you can write your story. I can't tell you everything, because that's not my job to tell you everything, but I can't give you that, because some things I got to leave within the locker room. But my job is to help you. And in turn, that helps the fan get a better idea of what a coach was thinking or what a player was thinking. That's how we learn the game. So I always felt compelled to do that.
As a player, was there a coach that you can think of right now that maybe gave that pregame talk better than the others, or maybe just fit what Herm Edwards needed to hear before a game?
Well, I think they're all different. You know, Vermeil was obviously a very passionate man. And I knew Coach Vermeil when I was 17, including the UCLA, so I've got a long history with him. We're working with Tony, and Tony Dungy and myself came in the league at the same time. And working with Tony, he had a different way of doing it. Marty Schottenheimer was a little bit, he was a little bit like Vermeil, right? Emotional, passionate. So I've been around a lot of them. Then I take all my own personality and what I do, and sometimes I think, you know, to address your team, to address players, you got to know the room. I've always said you got to know, like even you got to know. I call it the audience. Know the audience, and when you know what they are and how they feel, that's how you go about, you know, motivating them. Because our job is to bring supply energy when energy is needed. It's to provide knowledge when knowledge is needed, and it's to provide discipline when that is needed. And maybe the greatest thing that you have to understand, you are a servant. You serve them. And the one thing they want to know at the end of the day, will you provide them hope? Those things are important. And how you go about doing that in your daily walk as a head coach with players and coaches is very important. That's my early morning, like, what am I doing today? Because every day is something different for me with these guys. And they know it's coming. They know when I stand before them, they go, I don't know what he's going to say today, but he's going to say something. And it's going to pertain to the day. You know, sometimes it pertains just today. It's like, I would just, the thought of the day, right, or whatever it may be. And they know, well, coach is going to say something that I'm going to have to look at and go, oh, okay. Right? And I think that's the fun of it for me.
You graduated San Diego State. You had a degree in criminal justice. You've been involved with the Special Olympics. People know you as a football coach and maybe as a father and a husband, but you were born on an Army base in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. How did that shape your life?
Father Korean War in World War II. My mom was a German war bride, actually. I was born in Fort Monmouth. We left there when I was about two or three and then went to Germany. And my sister was born there, and then we moved back to California, to Fort Ord, California, which is on the Monterey Peninsula.
Oh, yeah.
And was raised there for a couple of years before we moved to a little town called Seaside. And I basically grew up there since I was, about 7, 8 years old. So I was a part of that Monterey Peninsula, right? And that's kind of my home because I kind of grew up there.
But Cannery Row? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I went to Monterey High. I was supposed to go to Seaside High, but in '68, when President Johnson passed the desegregation bill, I got bused to Monterey High. So I had to get on a bus early in the morning and go to Monterey High School.
Toreadors
against the Spartans. I thought I was going to be a Spartan, but I ended up being a Toreador. We were pretty good, by the way, though. In 3 years, we lost one game. There are a lot of good players.
So I'm a Mustang.
Oh, you're a Mustang.
Gilroy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. About Gilroy. We didn't play him then. Then it was we used to play Salinas, North Salinas, Alisal, Santa Cruz, Seaside High, Watsonville.
Yep.
That was it. Then it was a couple you played out of it. But we were pretty good. We had pretty good football teams.
It's interesting that never leaves you, though, too. I mean, you know, and of course, the upbringing you had good parents. What do you still carry with you that you got from mom and dad that maybe crosses your mind?
Well, that the most powerful possession that your parents give you is a good last name. And those were my walking orders. And with that being said, they told me don't screw it up. And they were right. They were really right. Because that's the only thing you really own that you can't buy. And you hand it down to your children. And I've told all my children that. I said, you know, be a person of integrity. Be a thoughtful person. Stand up. You know, don't compromise your values. You don't do that. And when the something's not right, you speak up. You have a voice. I learned that at Cal Berkeley now. And when you go to Cal Berkeley, you're going to speak up. It's funny.
I love it.
This thing is funny because, like, we have this every year, all our athletes along with coaches on Wednesday before school starts, we have this, what we call that, athletic meeting where somebody addresses all the athletes and all the coaches, right? So guess who's going to address us Wednesday? Dr. Harry Edwards.
Oh, awesome.
And what's really funny about this, and I called him. I called him up because Harry Edwards was my professor when I went to Cal right out of high school. So we go way back. And so he is going to address our whole staff and all our student athletes. It's going to be great.
I love it. Coach, I really appreciate you making time. Before I cut you loose, what do you think is going to happen? I mean, nobody really knows, but when do we see Pac-12 football again in your mind?
Well, I'm hoping, you know, we're all hopeful that maybe something can happen in the spring. And the one thing we knew from the beginning with the Pac-12, that the medical professionals were going to lead us. And they've led us always from the beginning. And once they decide that it's okay for us to get back to participate, we're going to get back.
Coach, I appreciate you making time for us.
Appreciate you, brother. God bless you. Thank you.
You too. Coach Herm Edwards, love that. The most powerful possession that your mom and dad give you is a good last name. Those were his walking orders. He said, parents told him, don't screw it up. Leave it here. You got the bald-faced truth. Blazers, Lakers, tonight, game one of the opening round of the NBA bubble playoffs series. I kind of like the games going all day long. Judah, do you like that? Where we got, you know, games during daylight hours, no travel. It's kind of NCAA tournament-like.
That's exactly the feel I got. I love it. And it's all on one channel, both yesterday all day at ESPN, today all day TNT, and it really sets the tone. Look, if you're going to have the playoffs in August, you might as well go all out with games all day. So I'm in favor of the format.
You guys have any sense of how long this NBA season has stretched? I have the exact number of days.
Oh, man. What, it started around Halloween last year? So
we're at 301 days.
Oh, my gosh.
Day 301, Blazers play a playoff game. Alabama Adriana, what'd you think of Herm Edwards' interview?
I always love having him on. I remember one time the question was brought up, like, who would I take as a wedding date out of all the Pac-12 coaches? And I'm sticking with my answer, either Cristobal or Coach Edwards. I love his energy, and he just seems like a good coach to, like, if I had to choose a coach to be, if I was, like, being recruited, he seems like a no-brainer to me. Just, he seems like he cares. He seems excited and very passionate. So, yeah, I love having him on.
Yeah, he's always good. He's interesting. I like that his life perspective. I don't think it's accidental. I mean, he's, you know, his father was a World War II veteran. His mother, a German war bride, as he pointed out. He's born on an army base. He grows up on Fort Ord. I know that part of the Central Coast very well. Monterey High School, MPC, the community college there nearby. Herm Edwards also played there in between his stint at Cal. He's just an interesting guy with an interesting life perspective, aside from the fact that he played 10 years in the NFL and he was a head coach in the NFL. Now he's in the college game where, by the way, 2 or 3 years ago, everybody thought this is not going to work. This is a bad hire. Look at Arizona State. They're going to try to do it like an NFL program. Now I think people are looking at Herm Edwards and they're going, you know, this player personnel model is not a bad way to go. And 80% of your day being recruiting, that cannot be fun for a guy in his 60s who's like, you know, he's a football coach. He likes being around the game, likes being around the kids. I think it's interesting when we ask that question that the millennial that is closest to college age on this staff identifies Herm Edwards and Mario Cristobal as the people, hey, if you're going to have dinner over somebody's house, that's where you want to go, Alabama Adriana, is go meet their families, meet these people. I don't think it's accidental that those two guys are two of the best recruiters in the Pac-12. They just connect with young people in a way that maybe some others are a little more challenged by. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about this Blazers-Lakers series. Aaron Fentress of the Oregonians covering it. He'll join us to lay it down. What needs to happen in Game 1? What will the starting lineup look like? Will the Lakers try to snooze through game one? We'll talk to
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.